Amen. Thank you, Doc and Mrs. Reifenberry. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is a great little book and has some tremendous things in it. There are a couple of things that you will recognize as you read the book. They are familiar phrases, familiar texts that have been used for many, many sermons, have been the inspiration behind many songs. And so there's a great deal in this little book, and it's not difficult at all to understand. Verse 1 of the first chapter, the book begins by saying the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden. In other words, what he is saying in this book, it's weighing heavy on him. It is a burden in which he is carrying. There are some things here that Habakkuk just does not understand. Some of God's dealings and the way God is dealing with Israel, and Habakkuk just doesn't understand it. And the whole idea of the book is that he questions God's actions and God's thinking and so on in the first chapter. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. But then in the second chapter, we see him just sitting before the Lord. He is basically just waiting on God to give him some understanding of the problem that Israel is facing and the questions that are on his mind. And then in the third chapter, after he has waited on the Lord, The Lord then begins to deal with his heart and begins to speak to him. And he realizes that he needs to just let God be God and just do what the Lord wants instead of expecting God to do what he wants. And we see him then humbled before the Lord and broken before the Lord and God just poured out heaven upon him. Now, if you'll look, please, at the second chapter, I'd like to read verse 1 to 4. And then we'll read a couple of verses out of chapter 3. Verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So he knows that he is in the wrong by questioning God in chapter 1. So he said, I'm just going to sit here and wait on God and wait on the Lord to straighten out my thinking here and help me to know what to think. Verse 2 said, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for me, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, you know that verse, don't you? You know that verse, and you ought to know that verse, because that verse is covered three other times in the Bible. Three other times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul realized that this is one of the sub-themes of the Bible. The just shall live by his faith. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk. See, when you wait on God, when you wait on the Lord and let the Lord let God be God, instead of trying to tell God what to do, just wait and let God be God, then you'll be able to pray and you'll be able to get answers and you'll be able to know that you're in fellowship with God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm simply going to entitle, The Just Shall Live by Faith. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the Word of God. Father, I pray that you will just take control of this service and take control of my thoughts and help me here this morning to be able to convey the heart of this book and to be able to show folks the meaning and what Habakkuk is dealing with. Because, Lord, so many times this is what we have to deal with. We see things that we just don't understand. We see things that we don't, we just can't go, just can't see why they work like they do or why they are like they are. But Lord, help us to trust you and to realize that you have a plan, and your plan is revealed in the book. Lord, it's going to come true. It's going to happen. It's all going to work out according to your will, according to your word. And Lord, just help us as believers to live by faith. Help us, Lord, just to know the Bible and learn the Bible and study the Bible and just realize that not one jot, not one tittle of this Bible is going to fail. It's all going to happen. But Lord, we just need to trust you and let you be God. And Father, help us now to live by faith. And Lord, give us understanding of this passage of Scripture. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know what a benchmark is? A benchmark, technically, is a metal peg that is driven into the ground, and it is a reference point in survey. A surveyor will get a topographical map, and he will then begin to look for a benchmark. He'll look for a place where somebody has come in and surveyed, and they have said that this land goes this way so many feet, and that way so many feet, and it goes here and it goes there, and they look for a benchmark. And once they find the benchmark, they're then able to properly survey the land and tell you exactly what land belongs to you. Now, most of us this morning are wearing a wristwatch. You either have a wristwatch, or you have one around your neck, or you have one in your pocket, but anyway, most of us have a wristwatch. And most of us have, within a minute or two of each other, we all have about the same time on our watches. Now, why is that? Well, because the way you set your watch is with what they call the Greenwich time schedule. They have set this clock that works off of the Earth's rotation and the sun and all that stuff. And it's accurate as it can be, down to the second. And it is the measurement whereby everybody on the planet sets their watches, and so that we're all functioning all for the same time. The North Star was and still is constantly used by sailors and sea captains as they sail across the oceans. Why? Because the North Star stays constant. It never changes. It never moves. It stays in the same place all the time, and it's used as a benchmark for navigation of the seas. Now, without a benchmark, without a standard, without a fixed point upon which we focus, there would be and there can be no consistency. Now, when it comes to man's relationship with God, God has given us a benchmark. You see, we don't have to guess at what God wants. We don't have to just put a blindfold on, spin ourselves around three times, and then hope that we hit the mark that God wants us and expects us to hit. No, we have a benchmark. And that benchmark is called your Bible. It is the eternal, set in stone Word of God. And it has always been the same that it is today. And God has not left us just to flounder and to approach Him just any old way that we want or any old way we choose. He has given us a benchmark. We have something to go by, and we have the Word of God to go by. You see, we need something that never changes. We need something that is going to remain the same all the time. God did not just give us a book and then 100 years later say, whoops, let's scratch that part out. We're going to change that. No, it has always been the same. always been the same. That's one reason of a many, out of many, but that's one reason why I don't subscribe to the Bible of the Month Club. I don't need a Bible that changes with the weather, with the seasons. I don't need that. I want something that is established, that is the same today that it was 1,000 years ago. I want something that I know is what God has given me. And so we would not know what God wants, and we would not know what God expects if it were not for the Bible. Everything that we know about God, we know from the Bible. Now, folks, listen, there is not an alternative source that explains God and His relationship with man. God did not want us to be in the dark concerning His purpose, His plan, or His program. The benchmark tells us everything we need in order to have a right relationship with Him. We learn how we can please God through the Bible. We learn why we are like we are through the Bible. We learn the purpose of our creation through the Bible. We learn that God has a plan for our lives through the Bible. We learn what that plan is through the Bible. This book right here is a copy of God's will for your life. I'll often have teenagers say to me, "Pastor, how do you know the will of God for your life?" It's in this book. It's in the Bible. The Bible is a copy of God's will for your life. So we need, as believers, to know the benchmark. We need to know where the benchmark is. A couple of years ago, when we were looking at three weddings in 13 months, we went down and refinanced our house, and then we borrowed a little bit of extra money on top of that to help us get our children out of the house. And to help us get our children married. I didn't come out right, did it? This fella came out, and he said I need to do an appraisal of your home. And I said, "Oh, okay, well, just help yourself." So he came in and he walked around for a little while, and then he called me outside, and he said, "Where's your property line go?" And so I said, "Oh, okay, well, let me show you." And he had this little map there that kind of had our lot designated on that map. And so he said, "Now, your benchmark is over here, right?" I said, "Yes, sir." I took him over there and showed him where there's that metal peg that's stuck in the ground. And so from that metal peg, he stood and he looked down this way and looked down this way and kind of saw where everything was. Now, if I'd have known he was coming, I could have gone out there, pulled that thing out of the ground, walked it over a little bit, and nailed it down in. No, that wouldn't have been right, would it? That would have been cheating. There are laws against moving the benchmark. Remember in the Old Testament, one of the laws that God gave the children of Israel was remove not the ancient what? Landmarks. And the landmarks were property lines. And they said, "Don't move the property lines. Don't move. Don't cheat." Well, folks, it's the same way with the Bible. This Bible it's the benchmark. It gives us everything we need to know in order that we might live our lives to the glory of God. Now, to prove the point that I just made, four times in the Bible, our benchmark says, "The just shall live by faith." All the way through the Bible, we are told to love God, to live for Him, to serve Him, to believe in Him. And so folks have wanted to know, well, how do you do this? Well, four times the benchmark tells us how to do this. The just shall live by faith. Now, the natural question, what should be the natural question becomes, well, all right, well then, where does faith come from? And Paul answers that question by telling us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, you can't get away from the benchmark. That's what I'm saying. I mean, everything that we do, everything that we are supposed to do, and everything that we are is directly connected to the benchmark, to the Word of God. And so the just shall live by faith. Paul said in another place that without faith it is impossible to please God. So we must of necessity then, Christian, be in the Bible so that our faith is growing and maturing and developing, and we need more faith. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. Now, folks, listen. If the Bible is our benchmark, and I hope I just proved to you that it is, if the Bible is our benchmark, we must start there. Would you agree with that? We must start there. That fellow came out to the house and said, do you have a benchmark on your property? I said, yes, I do. And we went to that benchmark out at the corner of our property, and that's where he started his survey of my land. We must start with the Bible, and so the first thing that I want to emphasize to you this morning, the first thought that I want to take you down is this: we are saved by faith. It says the just shall live by faith. Well, if we're going to start in the Bible, I want you to understand that it's consistently taught through the Scripture. We are saved by faith. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. You know, it amazes me the way people can read this Bible and get works for salvation out of the Bible. I cannot see that. Not even remotely can I see that anywhere you and I are supposed to earn our way to heaven. It is not by works. It is by faith. Let me just say it this way. We become just by faith. We become just by faith. We do not become just by works. We become just by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Now, folks, understand that saving faith comes from the Word of God. If saving faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, a person must hear God's Word so he or she can know how to be saved. How else are we going to know our condition unless we're told from the Bible that we're sinners? How else are we going to know about the Savior unless we turn to the benchmark and find out what God has told us about Him sending His Son? 1 Peter 1:21, the Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed," that's how you were born the first time, "not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which abideth forever." You see, the Word of God, the Bible, tells us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It tells us that there is a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. It tells us the Savior died on the cross for our sins, took our place on the cross, and died where we should have to die. And it tells us that we need to repent of our sin and to call upon His name, believing in Him, and that that is the only way that anybody is ever going to be saved. You can't be saved by your good works. And folks, let me tell you something. You're not going to learn any of this that I just said to you out of Britannica Encyclopedia. You're not going to learn any of what I just described for you out of the Reader's Digest. What you're going to find in Britannica Encyclopedia is what is called the humanistic evolutionary theory. You're going to be told there that man is evolving, and if you just hang on long enough, you'll eventually evolve too. And that's a bunch of malarkey. We are not going to find out the truth about mankind outside of the benchmark which God has written on our behalf. Why? The just shall live by faith. That's why you've got to have a benchmark upon which you can establish your relationship with God. And that benchmark is the Bible. So folks, salvation is all by faith. God has given us the benchmark and told us what we need to know. But notice now, it is all to be accepted by faith. Now, none of us were there. I don't think, anyway. None of us were there when God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldee. No, I don't think anybody was there. Some of you, maybe you heard about it from firsthand, but no, none of us are that old, are we? You weren't there. None of us were there when God spoke to David out on the backside of the desert and told him he was going to be king one of these days. Nobody was there when the Lord Jesus was nailed to Calvary's cross and hung between heaven and earth paying the penalty for sin. None of us were there. So how do we know about that? We know about that because God has told us so in His Word. And since none of us were there, we just simply got to take it all by faith. And once our faith is in the truth, the benchmark, the Word of God, then that brings salvation to our hearts. None of us were there when He resurrected from the grave. None of us were there when He ascended back to heaven to sit down on the throne of God. So we must receive it by faith. And that's why four times in the Bible, the Word of God tells us the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, folks, God expects us to believe the benchmark. God expects us to believe what He has told us in the Word. There is no other benchmark that is available to mankind. We have to believe what God has given us in the Word of God. So faith begins with saving faith, putting your faith in Christ for your salvation. But then secondly, I want you to notice that we serve by faith. We not only get saved by faith, but secondly, we serve by faith. We are saved by faith, but we serve by faith. Notice what the text verse says, the fourth verse. It says, the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk was dealing in this book. Now, here's where we're going to get into the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was dealing with, in this book, a lack of faith. As I explained to you a few moments ago, this book was written because Habakkuk was having a difficult time understanding things that were going on. And he just couldn't understand why God was using the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, in order to bring judgment upon Israel. He just couldn't come to grips with that. He didn't understand how God could take a bunch of heathen people and use those heathen people to bring judgment upon His own people. And so he is, in the first chapter, complaining to God about this matter. But now here in the second chapter, he is waiting on God. And while he is waiting on the Lord, God gave him this statement, the just shall live by faith. It's almost like God was saying to him, Habakkuk, listen, you are questioning my ways. I know what I'm doing, for I am God. You simply need to learn to live by faith. And this little book only has three chapters. In the first chapter, he's a man of doubt. In the second chapter, he is waiting and learning. And in the third chapter, he is now a man of faith because he has learned to wait and he's trusting God to do His will without question. Now, look at the third chapter in verse 1. Habakkuk prays to God. And now after he's waited and he's learned and God's dealt with him and he's now understanding some things, in chapter 3, verse 1, Habakkuk prays to God and he is simply trusting God that he knows what he's doing. You see, folks, this is how the just shall live by faith. As I am studying my Bible, as I am waiting on God, and as I am growing, as I am hearing messages from the Bible, as I am memorizing the Bible, as I am studying the Bible, I am increasing my faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now question, do the just live by circumstances? No. The just shall live by faith. Do the just live by finances? No. The just shall live by faith. You know, there's some folks, as long as everything's going well for them, man, they're all gung-ho for God. But you let the first little thing come by and rain on their parade, and all of a sudden they're so far down and discouraged that they just don't know if they're going to be able to get back up again. Folks, listen, you don't live by circumstances. You don't live by how much money you've got in the bank. You live by faith. We need to learn that lesson. We need to understand that God knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows that your bank account. He knows your problems. He knows your medical problems. But let me ask you something, Christian. Suppose you lost your job, and then your house burned to the ground, and you lost everything you had. Suppose your friends then all turned against you. Suppose then all of your children and all of their families were killed. Suppose then your wife left you. Suppose then you had a heart attack, and while you were in the hospital with a heart attack, you found out they canceled your insurance. And then while you were in the hospital with canceled insurance and a heart attack, you found out you had cancer. Now, from man's viewpoint, that would be enough to make just about anybody give up and quit. From man's viewpoint. But you know, nothing like that has afflicted anyone I know. And yet what is so sad is we have folks who quit serving and quit coming to church, and they start church hopping around to other churches. And you know, in most cases, why they do that? Because they only have to go on Sunday morning. You're welcome. And then they never hit a lick for God over a whole lot less going on in their lives than this fellow that I just described for you a minute ago. You know, if we all knew somebody that lost his job, lost his family, lost his children, lost his wife, lost his health, lost his insurance, lost his home, if we all knew somebody like that, we might just say, well, you know, I don't blame him for quitting. From a human standpoint, that's what we might say. But folks, the simple truth of the matter is, we have folks that quit over a whole lot less than anything I just described here a moment ago. It's just absolutely amazing. I want you to know, Habakkuk said, God, I may not understand everything. God, I may not know everything you're doing. I may not be able to see down to the end of the road. I may not be able to handle right now everything that I'm going through. But you know what, God? I'm just going to sit here in chapter 2, and I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to let you show me what I need to understand, because the just shall live by faith, not by their circumstances. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does. That's my point. You live by faith. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know what so-and-so said to me. No, I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't care. The just shall live by faith. You just need to learn to trust God. You say, but Pastor, would you quit butting? Goats butt, sheep follow. Just follow your God. Put your faith in your God. Don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in your fellow man. Don't put your faith in that person that is sitting beside of you. You realize the just shall live by faith. It's that simple. It's that easy. You say, but boy, that sounds hard to me. It's not once you realize that you got a benchmark that never changes. Go back to your benchmark and realize that the God that you serve is the one that gave you this benchmark. Put your faith in Him, dear friend. Oh, my soul, if you're watching me or if you're watching any of these guys on this platform, if you're watching anybody sitting around you, if you're watching this choir, why, you're going to trip and fall flat on your face. Because we'll let you down. I wish I was perfect. I really do. I wish I was perfect. I wish I could get up here and preach a perfect sermon. Always say the perfect thing. Always do the perfect thing. Never, I mean, but I'm not. And neither are you. We're sinners. Good night. Well, I'm not going to that church anymore. Oh, yeah? Well, why not? Well, you should have heard what that preacher said. He called me a sinner. Wait a minute, the benchmark called you a sinner. That just proves the point. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. You can slice it any way you want to slice it. Our problems today, it can be boiled down to this. The just shall live by faith. Quit living by your circumstances. Someone said something about you. Someone didn't meet your expectations. Someone didn't ask you to do something you thought they should have asked you to do. Someone didn't appreciate the way appreciate you the way you thought that you should be appreciated. Folks, you can slice it any way you want to slice it. The problem is the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dear Christian, listen to me. If you don't stay in the Word, reading and studying and meditating and learning and growing your faith, one day, you mark it down, you are going to be as spiritually cold as a quarter out on the parking lot in a snowstorm. And the devil's just going to knock the socks off of you. You're a prime target for the devil's attack. But I want you to look at what Habakkuk learned. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. He said, O Lord, I have learned thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, now listen to his prayer here, folks. This is the man of doubt who has now become a man of faith. He realized the just shall live by faith. And in verse 2, he said, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Now listen to him. Revive thy work. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. He is saying, Lord, don't let me hinder your work. I am going to have faith in you come what may. I'm just going to have faith in you. You see, a person of faith, listen carefully now. I want you to get this so bad, I wish I could just come up there and grab all of you and shake you. Listen to me. Listen, a man of faith or a woman of faith is concerned with how God's work is going. Are you listening? Isn't that good? Look at it. He said, Lord, I've heard thy speech. I was afraid. He's concerned about the work here. Revive thy work. A man of faith, a person of faith, is concerned with how God's work is going. How can a person who claims to know Christ as Savior just up and quit on God? How can you do that? Well, you're not doing it. You're here. But would you go to some of these that have quit and say, how do you do that? Pastor wants to know. Tell them to call me and tell me how you do this. How do you quit on God? Why would you quit? Why would you quit your church? Why would you walk away from the place where you serve God? The only explanation is that somewhere, somehow, the devil got that person to stop growing in their faith by getting them out of the Word. And the truth of the matter is, most Christians spend the majority of their time like Elijah out under a juniper tree living by circumstances instead of living by faith. Folks, listen. Again, don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in this staff. Don't put your faith in these however many walls there are in this place. Don't put your faith in that pew where you're sitting in. Don't put your faith in the person behind you, beside you, serving on the board, singing in the choir, teaching in the Sunday school. Put your faith in God. You'll never have to worry about God messing up. You will never have to worry about God offending you. You will never have to worry about getting disappointed in God. Keep your eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But you put your eyes on us and my soul, the devil is going to make sure you see what you're looking for. You know, if you want to get a good perspective on the landscape, don't send out a buzzard. The buzzard will come back and say, what'd you see? He said, well, I saw an old dead cow out there in the field. Ugh. Yeah, it had flies all over it. And that was nasty. But it sure looked good. Remember the old nursery rhyme? Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, what did you there? I spied a little mouse under her chair. Now, ain't that something? Go all the way over to London, to the palace. Go to the queen room. I don't know, throne room. And here's all of England's glory. And that cat sees a mouse. You know why he saw a mouse? That's what he was looking for. He was a cat. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Folks, this is God's work. It's not mine. This is God's work. It's not yours. This is God's work. We're just enjoying it. But you won't enjoy it unless you go to the benchmark. You will be like countless thousands that cycle in and cycle out. And cycle in and cycle out. And cycle in and cycle out. Thank God for folks that come in, get grounded, get settled, get their noses in the benchmark. They don't sit around and look at the preacher. Don't sit around and look at the choir. Don't sit around and look at the crowd. Don't sit around and look for the problems and look for the mice running around. They come in and they say, thank God, I'm going to live by faith. Folks, the benchmark's been driven in the ground. And the Word of God is fixed. It's forever settled in heaven. The Bible is our benchmark. We're saved by faith. We serve by faith. And the problem is, we need to increase our faith. And the way to do that is to make this book an integral part of every day of your life. This is your benchmark, folks. This is your benchmark. There's nothing wrong with any Christian in this room this morning that could not be fixed by you starting a daily regimen of learning the Word of God. Just a daily regimen of studying the Bible. Would you make that decision today? Would you say, I'm tired of being dried up and unhappy and miserable. I'm tired of being cold. I'm going to let the Word of God and just take my life. I'm just going to let the Bible become a part of my life. And my faith is going to grow stronger and stronger as I'm in the book. Because I now understand that the just shall live by faith. Folks, we get just by faith and we grow and serve and live by faith. I just want to challenge you this morning. Take your benchmark, drive it in deep, and stand upon that benchmark. The just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will move and work in the hearts of your people here today. Father, give us understanding of what we have heard. Help us to realize, Lord, the importance of just getting in the benchmark and growing our faith and being established in the faith. Lord, give us, I pray, the conviction of heart to make decisions this morning that are going to make an impact upon how we live this thing called the Christian life. Lord, help folks to put their eyes on Jesus and not upon other things. Lord, help us to grow, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many Christians here today will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. Man, that message is right where I needed it. And God's dealing with my heart here today. I realize now, Lord, Pastor, that the Lord wants me to be in the book. And He wants me growing. And He wants me to become the kind of Christian that stands upon the truth and knows the book and is not going to bend and just change every time the wind blows. Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand and testify that God's spoken to your heart this morning? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you. Many hands, yes. God bless you, folks. Amen. 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 Good. God bless you, ma'am. Amen. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. Folks, listen, just get in the book. That's your key right there. You've got a Bible that is, and nobody has told you you can't read it. You know, nobody's told you you can't read it. Oh, get in the book and let the book get in you. One more question. Maybe there's somebody here today. You say, Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray and ask God to help you today. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and God's dealing with my heart. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hand, son. You may put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, Father, thank you so much for your grace and your love. And Lord, thank you for allowing us the privilege to open the Bible this morning and to preach from its truths. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to Christians this morning. And Lord, give us a burdened heart for living by faith. Father, help us not to live by circumstances, but to live by faith. Father, I pray for this one that said, I'm just not 100% sure I'm saved. And Lord, I pray that you'll deal with this heart and work in a mighty way, Father, in this heart. I pray that, Lord, you might draw this person to you. And Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. Now bless us together, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.